This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities.
Every family has its quirks. Often these little idiosyncrasies are passed down through the generations. It could be a distinctive smile shared by a group of siblings, a unique saying that originated with a great-grandparent, a superstition that's persisted for centuries. Whatever the curious trait may be, it unites the family and represents their shared history. The same could be said for the Fugate family of Kentucky, only their quirk was much more than curious. It was completely inexplicable. The story begins with Martin Fugate, a French orphan who immigrated to eastern Kentucky in 1820. Martin claimed a land grant in a remote area known as Troublesome Creek. It got its name because the hunting trail that ran alongside the creek was overtaken by large trees, vines, and rocks, making it nearly impassable, or troublesome. Very few people lived there, but it was what Martin could afford. So he built a life in the rough environment. Soon he met Elizabeth Smith, an American woman with red hair and porcelain skin. They got married and had seven children. And this is where the Fugates' odd quirk became apparent. Three of Martin and Elizabeth's children looked perfectly normal. They had pale skin, just like their mother. But the other four? Well, they were not white. And they weren't any other recognizable human shade, either. They were blue. And I don't mean slightly blue-tinted. I mean bright, cartoonish, and impossibly indigo. The few other locals who lived near Troublesome Creek said that they were, and I quote, bluer than Lake Louise. According to local legend, Martin himself was also blue. And while we have to take 200-year-old stories with a grain of salt, it would certainly make sense. If the family patriarch was indigo-colored, his children's hue was slightly less shocking. Still, the obvious question was, what on earth was going on with the so-called blue Fugates? Well, seeing as this was the mid-1800s, medical science wasn't exactly equipped to find the answer. People in Troublesome Creek and the surrounding communities thought that the family had some kind of curse. Very few people were willing to marry into the family. Often, Fugates married their cousins or their aunts. This led to even more blue babies being born. Still, despite their social isolation and restricted gene pool, they seemed to be relatively healthy. By the 1900s, there were dozens of blue Fugates, and they were living well into old age. Whatever curse they had, it wasn't shortening their lifespan. But nevertheless, the family continued to be the subject of judgment and gossip. In 1960, nearly 150 years after Martin Fugate moved to Troublesome Creek, rumors about the Kentucky's blue family reached a man named Madison Cawein. Luckily, though, medicine had advanced in that last century and a half. Madison was a young doctor at the University of Kentucky, and specifically, he was a hematologist, or a doctor who specializes in studying blood. When Madison heard about the blue Fugates, he wondered if their odd skin color could be the result of a blood disorder. So he went to Troublesome Creek, and he met with a few of the members of the family himself. He took blood samples, and then he ran some tests. What Madison found was both groundbreaking and surprisingly simple. The blue Fugates had a disorder called methemoglobinemia. You see, the Fugates' skin turned indigo because their blood lacked an enzyme called diaphorase. The enzyme helps process hemoglobin, which is a protein that contains iron. When hemoglobin isn't processed correctly, a person's blood oxygen level can drop dramatically. So the Fugates had an abnormally low blood oxygen level. It wasn't enough to cause any noticeable health problems, but it was enough to turn their skin bright blue. Luckily, Dr. Madison Cawein found an existing treatment within the medical literature. He injected the fugates with a chemical ironically known as methylene blue. It counteracts the enzyme deficiency and helps the body process hemoglobin. Within seconds of the injection, the fugate's indigo hue faded to white. Madison gave the family a pill version of the methylene blue, which they could take daily to maintain their quote-unquote normal skin. The story of Troublesome Creek's isolated indigo family is a curious one indeed. Luckily, the fugate's medical mystery was solved, and these days, they don't feel nearly so blue.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is sponsored by Intuit. Here's a story for you. Once upon a time, a young woman was haunted by the ghosts of bad financial decisions, with credit card debt and an empty savings account looming over her every day. But when she tried to ignore these ghosts, they only grew bigger and scarier, and these ghosts of her bad financial decisions were stopping her from living her best life. So she decided to face them head on and take control of her finances with help from Intuit. Intuit helps you face your financial fears with confidence through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com. to start living yours. Let's get into it. Historically, emperors are not the kindest or most compassionate people. That was certainly true of Caligula. In the 4 years that he ruled over ancient Rome from 37 to 41 CE, Caligula gained a reputation as a psychotic and bloodthirsty ruler. If you don't believe me, here's a tale to prove it. According to a Roman historian, in the year 40 CE, King Ptolemy of Mauritania came to Rome for a visit with the imperial court. Shortly after meeting, Caligula had the man executed. Why? Simple. King Ptolemy had worn a purple cloak. Now, obviously, having a man assassinated for his wardrobe choices was not the most reasonable action, but Caligula was never known for his logical thinking. And in ancient times, the color purple was truly to die for. That was a color pun, by the way. So let me get into some history to help you understand it. You see, the specific shade of King Ptolemy's cloak was called Tyrian purple. It was a lush, jewel-like hue that glittered in the sun and deepened with age. Tyrian purple dye was so rare and so prized that it cost more than 3 times its weight in gold. It was also completely disgusting to make. Authentic Tyrian purple dye came from only one place, the mucus-secreting glands of a few species of sea snails. The dye that kings and emperors coveted was literally derived from snail slime, and the process went something like this. Sea snails would be harvested from the coast and quickly transported to a nearby facility. They were then killed, and their mucus glands were collected. To give you an idea of the scale here, making a single gram of dye required mucus from over 8,000 snails, so manufacturers had their work cut out for them. Once the mucus was collected, though, it was treated in a number of ways, including aging, exposure to sunlight, and adding acid and heat. Eventually, the slime was transformed into a glittering purple powder. Now, I guess this wouldn't be that gross if you can ignore the fact that hundreds of thousands of snails had to die to create a handful of purple powder. But the real clincher was the smell. One ancient Egyptian text noted that men who worked in Tyrian purple dyeing factories had hands that smelled like rotten fish. The Talmud actually gave a woman the right to divorce her husband if he took work in one of these snail dye factories. The stench alone was enough to break up a marriage. But the worst part was, even after a fabric had been dyed and washed, the scent could persist for months. Just imagine a castle full of royalty, all smelling like rotting snails. Given these gross origins, it's kind of surprising that Tyrian purple became the color of royalty. But those who wore it weren't thinking about animal rights or how bad their clothing smelled. They were thinking about what the color represented. It told everyone that they could afford to buy a dye that cost more than gold. Which brings us back to Caligula, the murderous Roman emperor. When he saw Ptolemy wearing a Tyrian purple cloak, he interpreted it as a sign of aggression, as if the king were trying to signal his own superiority, hence the reason that Caligula had the man assassinated. Luckily, today purple is no longer a color worth killing over. In 1856, an 18-year-old British chemist named William Henry Perkin accidentally discovered a way to create synthetic dye. It was the first of its kind, and it was just slightly lighter than Tyrian purple. He called it mauve. Suddenly, the shade that had been reserved for royalty became widely available. Even so, traditional dyeing methods still do exist. One factory in Oaxaca, Mexico produces authentic Tyrian dye to this day. Just like in ancient times, it'll run you thousands of dollars for a single gram, and it'll probably stink up your entire house. But there has been at least one improvement in dye production over the last 2,000 years. The Oaxaca factory has discovered a way to extract mucus from sea snails without killing them. Now, they can proudly say, no snails were harmed in the making of this color.
I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show, and you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious. Thank you.